This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Elite communists and street communists. The DOJ is taking action in Minnesota. Trump is beating up those elites on the world stage. Connor Tomlinson and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, so you know, if you watch the show, you understand that there are two different divisions of communists. There always have been and there always will be. There are the elite communist scumbags, the media, the politicians, the professors, the Hollywood elites, generally not true believers, just people in search of money and power, and they've found a sick demonic religion to give them that money and power. And then there are street communists. That's the people you see out there painting themselves on the road, storming churches, killing people, the normal thing. Generally true believers, violent, drug addicted, monstrous human beings, always used by the elites as foot soldiers to gain power. You got all that. The elites we will get to a little bit later on in the show because they're all meeting in Davos right now. Apparently it's in Switzerland. And they're all hatching new schemes to destroy your life while enriching themselves. Let's focus on the other group, shall we? First of all, let's focus on people like this guy. Now, before I play it, his name's William Kelly. I tell you all the time that there are foundational truths, that you have to understand foundational truths about what we're facing, or you'll always be shocked. You'll always be surprised. You'll always be confused. You'll always think, or you'll always be saying, I don't understand why they would do that. Why is he saying that? I don't understand. If you say that a lot, it's because you don't understand certain foundational truths. So here's a foundational truth that, honestly, if you get this, you'll get almost everything. They are fighting. I'm talking about the communists inside of our country and globally. They are fighting a revolution designed to destroy everything you love and everything you care about. They believe that everything in society, from the government to the family, to the church, Hollywood, your kid's school, everything, every bit of it is evil. It must be torn down. That's what they believe. They are fighting a revolution. They are fighting, in essence, a war against our country. They believe the stakes are as high as stakes can get. They have decided, because the stakes are so high, that every single thing that must be done and said must be done and said in service to the revolution. If you've ever wondered why they lie so easily, it's like they breathe. You can lie in service to the revolution. Why will they hurt people, kill people, destroy businesses in service to the revolution? Why? Why do they do this? Why do they do anything and everything is permissible in service to the revolution? They are communist revolutionaries. They're not Democrats. They're not progressives. They're not liberal. They don't lean left. They are communist revolutionaries who believe America is evil and they want to burn it down. And when I explain that, you will always get some extremely naive person emailing into the show saying, oh, come on, they're not fighting a revolution. Really? William, please tell them.
So you know, Pam Bondi, you want to come and arrest me? You want to come and give me charges? So be it. And for all the people getting, you know, giving me death threats, threatening my life, kill me. Go ahead, kill me. Because you know what? As Fred Hampton said, you can kill the revolutionary, but you can't kill the revolution.
You don't have to take it from me. The street animals like that will tell you loudly they're fighting a revolution. And for people who don't want to fight a revolution, who don't think we need a revolution, it can get scary, it can get exhausting, it can get, all these things are true. I'm not telling you what to do, but you have to understand that's what's happening. And we have to understand this. We have to understand the role women play and why they play it in every communist revolution, in the Soviet Union, in China. I mean, you know who was worse than Mao? His friggin' wife. That, why are Why are women so instrumental to the communist revolution? Daily Wire just had a poll out that showed women are far more likely to support political assassination than men. You wouldn't think that, right? After all, women are nurturing and motherly, but that's why. Allow me to explain. Women, no matter how your life ends up if you're a woman, women are biologically created to be caring nurturers, mothers, wives, care for a home, nurture children. And what does a mother do? How does a mother act with her children when it comes to protecting them, both human beings and in nature? Mothers will die to protect their children. Mothers will kill to protect their children. You want to know the most dangerous kind of bear you can encounter in the wild? It's a bear cub. Do you know why? Because if you find a bear cub, that bear cub's mother is close. And if she senses you are in any way a threat to that cub, she's going to rip your face off. That's how mothers are. And communists know this. And so what do? Well, they take your daughter and they take her as early as they can. Maybe they take her on this. Instagram, Twitter, social media. No, I'm not being old guy Jesse. I know you're on social media. So am I. They take her here and they start to work on those motherly instincts. They start to work on her in school. Her friends start to work on her. Women are more likely to seek out social acceptance among their friends. Men are more likely to rebel against it. Women are more likely to, don't embarrass me, seek out that social acceptance. And then they send her off. You'll send her off to college. And what they will do there, consider it the finishing school of this. They will take those wonderful motherly instincts that God gave her, the desire to nurture something, to care for something, and they won't try to remove those instincts from her. They'll just kind of divert them onto something else. You see, women, especially the young ones, they become mothers of the revolution, mothers of felons, foreigners, you name it. Whatever is good for the revolution, they will teach that young Democrat at the college you're paying for that she is the mother of it. And that's why they become wild animals in service to communism. These two were teachers, by the way.
There's news in the world, guys. Sorry, we got a little too excited there. Guys, please.
That was two teachers on video, recording themselves, look at me, hoping Donald Trump would be assassinated, and totally sure they're the good guys. They're just being mothers to the revolution. You remember Big Chungus, right?
Hey, you ever heard of Ozempic, you
mocking the death of Charlie Kirk. Again, a teacher. How could anybody get that horrible? She's just being a mom to the revolution. Where do these women get radicalized like this? Well, they sit at home. They watch The View.
See, I think that this is the end of it now for him. It has to be. And Americans need to step up now. It's not enough to go into the streets. It's not enough to vote. I believe that people need to start calling their congressmen and their senators. People out there have no way of dealing with this. That's why they come in here and love us so much lately.
Well, yeah. He put that.
But get on. So I would just say, get on the phone. Get on the phone, leave a message, look up who these people are in your area, and say, it's time to do something about this guy because he's leading us into World War III.
Women sit at home and they get destroyed by that. We have asked, I have asked, I talked about it yesterday. Pam Grier, actress Pam Grier, went on The View and told the most absurd outright lie in the world. It would be like me sitting down right here and telling you, I'm 44 years old, that I remember where I was the day JFK was assassinated. It would be like me telling, this is the equivalent to what Pam Grier did on The View.
You faced a lot of racism growing up in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. How did that shape you?
Well, the military wouldn't allow black families to live on the base. So you had to live in an apartment. And you couldn't take a bus. You didn't, couldn't afford a car. You walked. Your dads walked to the base. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we would go from tree shade to get back to the apartment. My brother and I, my mom, with bags. And my mom would go, don't look. And she'd pull us away. Wow. Because there is someone hanging from a tree. And they have a memorial for it now, where you can see where people were and left. Mm-hmm. And it triggers me today to see that a voice can be silenced. Mm-hmm. And if a white family supported a black, they're going to get burned down or killed or lynched as well.
Yeah. She was born in Ohio in 1959. She made up every word of that. It's not like she shaded the truth a little bit. She just invented the whole thing. And the hosts sit there, and then and every brain-dead moron in the crowd, oh my gosh, it's terrible! And the women, especially the young women watching at home, no! It can't be! For an outright lie. That's why so many of these race baiters get away with just telling these huge, outright lies.
They not even going, honestly, they're about to outlaw the idea of white supremacy and white hate. Like, they are about to be like, oh, that's not a thing. Forget the fact that you're talking about getting rid of, like, the classification for nooses in a time in which we have seen these random black bodies be strung up down south.
If I hear of someone whose fashion that I like and I know that they're a person of color, I try to make it a point. But the clothes have to be available. You know, I think we can all do some work to think about that balance in our wardrobes, you know? What does our closet look like and who's in it? Mm-hmm. Who are we supporting in it?
Right.
You know, and I think if you have the money to buy Chanel, mm-hmm. then you have the money to buy everybody.
Right.
And so let us be mindful, I think would be my advice.
Yes.
This, the whole ICE thing is a travesty. You know, it's clearly, to me, it's we're attacking brown people. And I just happen to be brown. And I don't think it should just be brown people who are upset at this. I think we all have to be.
They just lie. And it doesn't work on you. You know who it works on? The daughter you sent off to University of Virginia. Her friends have been working on her. Social media has been working on her. Her professors have been working on her. She tunes into that crap and she believes it. That's why she showed up to Christmas this year with half her head shaved, the other half dyed pink, a bunch of earrings in her face, and told you she hates your guts and doesn't want to go to church anymore. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Let's talk about Minnesota. Indictments. Are we finally going to see communists thrown in prison? Let's talk about potato chips first, because that might be the most important thing we discuss on the show. I freaking love potato chips so much. Last night, get home. I've been trying to be better about late night snacking, but I had a moment. It was 9:30. I was hungry. It's too late for a meal. I just kind of moseyed over to the pantry and grab some Vandy Crisps, the smokehouse kind, the barbecue smokehouse kind. I didn't have to feel bad. Big old handful of Vandy Crisps, just three main ingredients, potatoes, salt, beef tallow. That's why you don't feel heavy and bloated. That's why I still slept good. You wanna try delicious chips, the best you'll ever have that you can eat guilt-free? Try a couple bags of them, you'll never buy another chip. VandyCrisps.com. Promo code is JesseTV. We'll be back.
whether it's a public official, whether it's a law enforcement officer, no one is above the law in this state or in this country. And people will be held accountable. This state is a mess right now. We've seen the chaos, and it's constant. And our men and women in law enforcement deserve to be safe, and that's what we're going to do in Minnesota.
Okay. Sounds good. Still waiting on that. Joining me now, Tyler O'Neill, senior editor of the Daily Signal. You already probably read his book, The Woketopus. If you have not, you probably should. All right, Tyler, I'm not a lawyer. I very much trust some people like Harmeet Dhillon. I know things take time. It's not an episode of Law and Order. I got all that. But I've heard for over a year now that no one's above the law. People will be held to account. No one's above the law. People will be held to account. I haven't seen a single prison sentence yet that I'm aware of for a powerful person. What's happening?
Yeah, so we're seeing the subpoenas that they just apparently sent out yesterday to Tim Walz, Mayor Jacob Frey, Attorney General Keith Ellison, all of them focused on this question of whether they were abetting this effort, you know, to block ICE to prevent Immigration and Customs Enforcement from carrying out the law, you know, enforcing the law in Minnesota. And this is a really huge issue. So you're talking overall the issue about whether we've seen anybody going to prison and see real accountability for the excesses really of the last 4 years and for some of the opposition we've seen in Minnesota this year, and particularly in this past month. I mean, I haven't seen a governor suggest that the president is at war with him and his state like we saw from Tim Walz earlier this year, suggesting that, you know, he's going to send a National Guard to fight ICE. And this after he announced he wasn't running for re-election. So I think this investigation is extremely important. I do think things take a little while to move, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're dealing with a very complicated system where, you know, they have to dot their I's and cross their T's, and they have to have real predicates for criminal activity. So when it comes to these things, you know, unfortunately, time is going to have to come. But I share your frustration, Jesse, that I think, you know, some of the things that we know were horrible that happened in the previous administration, one of the big issues for me still is the COVID scandals, where so many abuses were taken, so much of our freedoms were ripped away from us. And we haven't seen a sort of, you know, the sort of accountability that I think we all want to see.
Are we going to, Tyler, and you can give it to me. If you have to black pill me, that's fine. If you tell me you think it's coming, wait 6 months, that's fine. I know that life doesn't work as fast as I want it to work. I get that. But do you get the, whether it's COVID or Minnesota or the lawfare against Trump and whatever, is there somebody going down?
I can't predict it. I do think what we've seen is the left's infrastructure, you know, on the back foot. Ever since President Trump came into office last year, he has been taking actions that undermine the way that the left's dark money network operates. But I have to be, you know, I have to be frank with you, Jesse. Even if we know for certain, and even if it was, you know, even if it's true that people like George Soros want to destabilize America, want to be sending their money to support actions that arguably are on the wrong side of criminality, it's a very long slog to ever prove this. And people like that are very well protected. And I'm sure they know how the game is played. So I follow the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're the organization I want to see most held accountable for the abuses that they've been doing. They've been, for years, they've been systematically defaming conservatives and Christians. And we saw a good path toward accountability for them in a defamation lawsuit from D.A. King in Georgia. But unfortunately, we had one judge who ruled that the lawsuit could go forward and allowed for discovery. And then we had another judge who later took the case who essentially found everything in the SPLC's favor and did so in a way that I don't think actually comports with the law. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm in conversations with the legal team there. But what we see time and time again is the left is very smart at navigating these things, and we have to keep the pressure on. We have to keep calling it out. And unfortunately, many on the right don't have the stomach to continue to push back in the way that we need to.
Tyler, we all watched the video, most of us on our phones, of a bunch of animals running into a church service in St. Paul where people were just trying to worship God and disrupting it and making just a complete loud nuisance of themselves. And this stuff isn't organic, is it? I know you wrote the book, The Woketopus. I scream this from the hilltops that all this stuff is paid and organized.
Well, I think it's important to mention two things. You know, Andy Ngo had a very good complaint recently where he said, everyone says, oh, this is paid, this is organized, this isn't real. And I think that last part is where everything falls apart. Much of this is paid, much of it is organized, but that doesn't mean this isn't real. I mean, we saw people like, you know, Renee Good, and by the way, I consider her death to be a tragedy. But at the same time, we had someone here who was engaged in this ICE watch agitation where they would follow these law enforcement officials and try to prevent them from carrying out their duty to enforce the law. And so she was in her car. They gave her maybe conflicting orders, but we can see clearly from the videos that she made contact with this ICE officer before he opened fire and shot her. And I hate to see anyone lose their life, but if you're in a situation as an ICE officer where it seems like she's about to run you over, it makes sense that you're going to fire in what seems to be self-defense. And, you know, we've seen the left seize on this and say over and over again that this was a murder, when in reality, you look at the situation and I'm saying this is self-defense. So now we have this horrific invasion of a church. I mean, talk about an eye-opening moment where I would expect the left, if they had an ounce of, you know, real sanity, in that little bit of moderateness that, you know, Tim Walz and that Virginia's new governor, Abigail Spanberger, claim to have, they should be condemning this from the rooftops. But that's not what we're seeing. What we saw, I got a very weak sauce response. Thankfully, Tim Walz said he doesn't support this, but he isn't out there full-throatedly condemning it the way he should. I mean, these people were worshiping God, and you had suddenly anti-ICE agitators rushing in, you know, dividing the sanctuary, separating the people off from the pastor, and then surrounding some members of the congregation. And you see these kids who are sitting there terrified, needing to be comforted by their parents, while agitators are shouting, "Justice for Renee Good." And I think the one that really opened my eyes was they said, "Who shut this down? We shut this down." That is the message that I think America needs to hear here, because you had agitators who came in there and shut down a church service in the name of pursuing their opposition to the enforcement of immigration law. And if this isn't so far off the reservation that it should wake Americans up, I don't know what is. Now, I looked into the organizations that are or that were behind that particular event, and it looks like they don't have very strong ties. One of the ringleaders used to be at the NAACP in Minneapolis, and I think that raises some questions. But her organization, the Racial Justice Network, does not receive funds from the left's dark money network, and which kind of surprised me. You have in Minnesota various left-wing groups that are agitating, that are, you know, inspiring protest and then inspiring worse in Minnesota about opposing ICE. And I'm really seeing at least three different sets of activist groups. You have the Neville Roy Singham Network groups, like the Party for Socialism and Liberation, and a few other groups that are allied with him, like Democratic Socialists of America. And then you have the Indivisible Network, Indivisible Twin Cities, that is also organizing actions there. But then you have the Racial Justice Network, which, and this is the thing that I think Americans need to understand. I talk a lot, and you rightly talk a lot, about the left's networks funding these people, but there are many of them on the ground who are so radicalized that this is a local effort. And there are a lot of people who really believe and are willing, you know, the reason I brought up Renee Good was because this is an American mom who got radicalized, who was following ICE, who was endangering her life and others, arguably, by engaging in the act she was engaging in, and she ended up losing her life. And this is what these people are willing to do. And you hear over and over again one of these leftist groups. I was listening to this leftist group, I think it's Unidos, who claimed to have organized 26,000 people. They call them peaceful observers or constitutional observers. And they say these people are only there to observe what federal law enforcement is doing, and that they're all remaining peaceful. And I say, look, we've seen some of the tactics of ICE Watch. We've seen the de-arrest primer that was put out by the group that Renee Nicole Good was supposedly a member of. These people are not just observing. These people are actively separating ICE from the people who they should lawfully arrest, people who are in this country illegally. I mean, you cannot make this up. You have a president who opens the border, who imports millions of illegal aliens. And then when the next president says, enough, we're going to close the border and kick out the illegal aliens who shouldn't be in this country, everyone on the left throws a fit and says, no, you can't remove them. ICE said they're only going after the worst of the worst. And I think that is laudable. But they also need to deport illegal aliens who are not the worst of the worst. I mean, what we're talking about, under the Biden administration, we had millions and millions of people come here. And that's millions and millions of people disregarding our laws, pushing to the back of the line the people who came here legally, the immigrants who are the salt of this country, who we do want here. Those legal immigrants who are following the law, who are honoring our country, were put at the back of the line while illegals were being given, you know, the red carpet under the Biden administration. And having all of these immigration NGOs getting money from the federal government to move them across the country. I mean, it is flabbergasting how corrupt the whole system was. And so now we have a president who's stopping it, but I don't have confidence that, I mean, the DOJ is having enough trouble defending the administration's lawful activities, much less going after people who abetted this. I mean, it's a gargantuan task.
It is. Tyler, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. We're going to have a little chat. Before we have a little chat, I'll make it brief. We're going to talk about our energy, feeling good. That's what testosterone really is. But it's more than testosterone. When you start natural herbal supplements from Chalk, and they have all kinds of things. Yes, they have male vitality stacks, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. They have female vitality stacks, and they have Chalk Lit powder, and they have a pre-workout called Chad Mode. They have all kinds of things. What you notice is every day you feel a little better, a little more energy. I sleep a little better. My body just works better. My blood work sure looks a whole lot better. 4 years I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV and get a subscription today. You're about to feel better. We'll be back. All right, we still have globalist things to get to, and we're going to get to those things with Connor Tomlinson here in a minute. I just wanted to take a quick minute because I wanted to address something. We'll keep addressing this. I've seen a lot of people say, Trump himself has said, we need to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate. You know how they have to have 60 votes to pass a law. You get rid of the filibuster, it's just a simple majority, 51. Get rid of the filibuster. Get rid of the filibuster. Got to get rid of the filibuster. Okay. I've asked repeatedly, if we're going to take that step, what is the law we're going to pass that's going to fundamentally change the country and kneecap the left? And then people will say, well, the SAVE Act. We'll pass the SAVE Act. Got to pass the SAVE Act, right? Got to make sure only Americans are voting in the election. Let's pass the SAVE Act. But now we know from reports that are out today, as I've warned you of several times, that we don't have 51 Republicans who will vote to pass the SAVE Act. Yes, I know we have 51 Republicans in the Senate. We don't have enough of them who will vote to pass the SAVE Act. You can scream all day that you want to end the filibuster. We still can't pass a law you like. So what's the point? The low-T GOP indeed. Look, call a friend and tell them about it. Use your Pure Talk phone. That's what I'll tell you. That's the best thing I can tell you right now. Let's pick up your phone, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to puretalk.com/JesseTV, and here's why. Because you have Verizon, you have AT&T, you have T-Mobile, and they hate your freaking guts. They hate you, they take your money, and they send it to street animal groups. You fund communism when you pay your phone bill, but you don't have to. Pure Talk is on the same towers. I'm not asking you to sacrifice service. I know your phone calls are important. They're on the same towers. You want to keep your phone? Keep it. Same phone number? Who wants to change numbers? Keep it. Pure Talk makes it easy. It'll cost you less, and you can actually feel good about where you spend your money. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Because of my landslide election victory, the United States avoided the catastrophic energy collapse which befell every European nation that pursued the Green New Scam. Canada gets a lot of freebies from us, by the way. They should be grateful also, but they're not. I watched your prime minister yesterday. He wasn't so grateful. But they should be grateful to us. Canada lives because of the United States. Remember that, Mark, the next time you make your statements. The explosion of prosperity and conclusion and progress that built the West did not come from our tax codes. It ultimately came from our very special culture. We have to defend that culture and rediscover the spirit that lifted the West from the depths of the Dark Ages to the pinnacle of human achievement. The situation in Minnesota reminds us that the West cannot mass import foreign cultures which have failed to ever build a successful society of their own. It became conventional wisdom in Washington and European capitals that the only way to grow a modern Western economy was through ever-increasing government spending, unchecked mass migration, and endless foreign imports. Virtually all of the so-called experts predicted my plans to end this failed model would trigger a global recession and runaway inflation. But we have proven them wrong. It's actually just the opposite.
It does feel good to have your leader not apologizing for your country on a global stage, as seems to happen every time there's a scumbag Democrat in office. Joining me now, Connor Tomlinson. You can watch him on Tomlinson Talks on YouTube. Connor, look, it warms my heart to watch anybody from anywhere go stand in front of that group of scumbags and just totally slap them around like that. It makes me sleep better at night.
Well, I'm very appreciative as well, Jesse, because Trump can now truly claim the crown as leader of the free world. Though, unfortunately, Britain's not looking all that free at the moment. And that's the point he was making when he was on stage, delivering similar rhetoric to that which some of the employees of the State Department have been using, going around, speaking to various European states, saying, actually, the West is not just a strategic geopolitical alliance or a set of consumer clients from Chinese and Bangladeshi manufacturing plants. Instead, it's got common heritage, culture, Christian religion, and it's a civilization with thick sinews that cannot just be severed because liberal technocratic elites want to twiddle the dials on economics and education and pretend that you can just write John Lennon's Imagine into law and then we can all play pretend in an egalitarian utopia. If anything, Trump delivered some really refreshing realpolitik to the deluded, disconnected cocktail party goers in the room and said, actually, you can't just import millions of people from third world slums, inflict them on your civilization, and instantly turn them into being as American or as Canadian or European or British as you and me. It turns out there are intractable cultural prejudices, even IQ differences, which he dared to mention on stage in front of all these delusional liberals, that prevent integration and present barriers to peace and prosperity, causing higher crime, cultural erasure, and, dare we say, demographic replacement. This is something that now the Trump State Department has recognized as a civilizational issue. They have essentially said that white flight out of traditionally European countries and cities, like London, which is now less than a third English, is an existential threat to civilization akin to a full-scale foreign invasion by a great power like China or Russia. And while the rest of these elites continue to have their heads in the sand, waxing lyrical about the sovereignty of Greenland and the necessity for Denmark to continue possessing Greenland, that Denmark should control the fate of Greenland, well, they don't care if European nations are, or their own are demographically swamped by everyone from Asia, India, and Africa, and that has somehow no incursion on the right for European peoples to determine their own fate. So really appreciate what Trump said there.
Connor, these people who have destroyed so much of Europe and America. Obviously, we might be a little behind where you're at, but same thing, going same direction by the mass importation of barbarians. Are they evil or are they stupid?
Both. I think this is best summed up in the figure of Keir Starmer, our Prime Minister, who in 2023 told Emily Maitlis, an activist masquerading as a journalist, that he prefers Davos to Westminster. He is truly a creature of international institutions. He is a devotee of international laws. He's the kind of man who thinks that if you write in a UN charter that everyone gets free chocolate milk, then his sippy cup will be full by nighttime and he'll be very upset if it isn't. And Keir Starmer has already said in interviews before the last general election, which you would have thought would have put people off him, but there you go, that he barely dreams. He doesn't have a favourite novel. I'm surprised if he can rotate a shape in his mind. And yet, that hard ceiling on his own IQ, as I'm sure President Trump will be keen on reminding him exists, has not stopped him from plundering and impoverishing and destroying our country at an expedited rate, even worse than that of the last Conservative government. Keir Starmer calls everyone far right who objects to his policies, such as imprisoning 33 people a day, or at least arresting them, for offensive social media posts, for giving out British citizenship grants like they're going out of fashion, including bringing in an imprisoned Egyptian terrorist who said that he was disappointed that the Iranian and Taliban nuclear programs were not specifically targeting white people. And Keir Starmer said he was delighted to bring this man into Britain and give him citizenship, making him our problem for some reason. These people are, yes, stupid, Jesse, but they are dogmatic, ideological Fabian socialists and insane blank slate liberals who want to build an egalitarian utopia and they don't care how many bones they have to step over to get it.
Grief. All right, Klaus Schwab, because they're at the World Economic Forum event, of course. Klaus Schwab, the James Bond supervillain, used to run that place, but they've since moved on to a different one, Larry Fink. How should I interpret this?
Well, the internal politics of the World Economic Forum are less interesting than what Larry Fink himself has done. I mean, years ago, he wrote for Harvard this long letter saying that international leadership has waned. It's a bit of ahead of the curve on this, but rather than reassessing his priors, a bit like Mark Carney's speech the other day, he said, in the light of the first term election of President Trump, it means that public-private partnerships, big business, unelected, unaccountable institutions, and their puppets in government, like Justin Trudeau at the time, or Emmanuel Macron, or Keir Starmer, have to step in and synergize their opinions, pushing via ESG scores, which Larry Fink invented while he was at BlackRock, woke social causes like transgenderism, devotion to the cult of Malthusian climate degrowth, obsession with net zero, sabotaging our energy supplies and our industrial capacity, because they believe that they can be leaders, lights to the world, on bringing everyone else into a progressive utopia. And it doesn't matter, as President Trump has pointed out time and time again to them, that China is making bank off of extracting all these rare earth minerals from Asia, Africa, with their eyes on Greenland and the Arctic Circle, of course, processing them all and producing solar panels and wind turbines that don't work when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine, and exporting them all to these suicidal European states and Canada and the Anglosphere, while building coal, oil, and gas plants to power their own economy. So Larry Fink, yet again, is a delusional ideologue. He's looking to create an ideological monopoly on all of our markets, and still has not realized that get woke, go broke is the reason why so many corporations went almost out of business operating according to ESG scores, and that principle that delivered President Trump a second victory.
The president of the Conference of European Rabbis spoke today, and man, just here he was.
Your Eminence, especially in Germany, you are facing a rise of anti-Semitism, but we are facing this all over the world. So I would like to hear what is your perspective on this.
The 7th of October has created turbulence in the whole world, a tremendous rise of anti-Semitism, organized, state-sponsored, in many instances, in universities, on the streets, and a rise of 500%, maybe some instances to 1,000% of anti-Semitic acts. And there has also been a reaction of Europe. I think the rise of the extreme right in many European countries is a response to the insecurity felt by the old Europeans, so-called old Europeans, regarding the new immigrants who came from the Middle East. So I think that fighting Islamophobia and anti-Semitism is an interest of both religions.
Connor, it's beyond parody that it's the far right who are going after Jews in Europe, and of course, Islamophobia is a big problem. It's beyond parody.
Yeah, it's particularly insidious as well, Jesse, because Rabbi Goldstein, I looked this up some time ago, back in 2017, was parroting the same line, saying that anti-Semitism and Islamophobia are the top threats for both Muslims and Jews, and so they need to work together to fight the true enemy, the European far right. Danny Finkelstein, the British lord, who beclowned himself by interjecting into Nick Fuentes' debate with Piers Morgan, has said the same thing recently, a week after Jews were massacred in Bondi Beach by ISIS jihadists. So despite the evidence before their very eyes, which is the majority of people marching for globalizing the Intifada or denying the atrocities that Hamas committed on October 7th in Europe and Britain's major cities that are occupying Columbia University campus, despite the fact that majority of those are the sons and daughters of the Third World, disproportionately Muslim, instead, the true threat to this left-wing rabbi and other, unfortunately, we must say, left-wing Jewish organizations that have championed mass migration because their own parents may have been refugees fleeing the Holocaust, and therefore they think every immigrant must be a refugee fleeing the Holocaust. The real threat to them is instead the backlash to the permissive immigration policies that they have supported, which are getting Jews and whites alike killed in their droves. And so I must ask this rabbi, if not Jews in Manchester at a synagogue, if not Jews on Bondi Beach, if not all the children that were killed at the Manchester Arena concert, or all the innocents butchered at the London Bridge attack, the Westminster Bridge attack, the list goes on and on, Bataclan, if not them, then how many more bodies will it take for you to abandon your delusional, suicidal civilization pact and realize the Muslims are not your friends? And actually, if Jews do want a future in Europe, America, the UK, Canada, they actually need to make common cause with the patriotic Christian majority white populations whom they have lived alongside in relative peace and prosperity compared to every other population for hundreds of years.
Connor, as always, my friend, appreciate it. Outstanding. All right. That was heavy. So let me lighten your mood. Well, lighten the moves. Next, let me lighten your load by telling you I'm going to give you something for free. and it's better than that thing you got with the Happy Meal, that little crappy toy, I want you to go to jessekelly.com and put in your email address. I am not going to fill up your inbox with a bunch of garbage. I'm going to sign up for my newsletter. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to fill it up with a bunch of crap. Not going to send you a bunch of things. I have something I want to send. It's something I want people to have, something I want people to be able to share with others. I'm not going to charge you a dime for it. JesseKelly.com. We're going to be revealing it very soon, okay? We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I would just say it does me no good. It does my heart no good to ever see harm come to anybody. People getting slapped, punched, kicked, pepper sprayed. But valuable lessons are learned. For instance, I don't care who you are, man, woman, child. Do not ever get out of your car and approach somebody and put your hands on them or their things, or this is the kind of thing that's going to happen.
You might want to repark your car, though. I'm very, whoa, ma'am, get off my stuff. Hey, don't touch my stuff.
Man.
Do not touch my stuff.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
What are you doing? Don't touch my stuff again. That's what you get for putting your hands on people. That's where I'll find out.
Your hands to yourself. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.